Blue Star sighed, tilting her head again and studying the stars. I am deeply troubled by tonight's defeat. ThunderClan has not been beaten in its own territory since I became leader, she murmured. These are difficult times for our clan. The season of New Leaf is late, and there have been fewer kits. ThunderClan needs more warriors if it is to survive.
But the year is only just beginning, Spotted Leaf pointed out calmly. There will be more kits when Greenleaf comes.
The gray cat twitched her broad shoulders. Perhaps, but training our young to become warriors takes time. If ThunderClan is to defend its territory, it must have new warriors as soon as possible.
Are you asking StarClan for answers?
Meowed Spotted Leaf gently, following Blue Star's gaze and staring up at the swath of stars glittering in the dark sky. It is at times like these that we need the words of ancient warriors to help us. Has StarClan spoken to you? Blue Star asked.
Not for some moons, Blue Star.
Suddenly, a shooting star blazed over the treetops. Spotted Leaf's tail twitched, and the fur along her spine bristled. Blue Star's ears pricked, but she remained silent as Spotted Leaf continued to gaze upward. After a few moments, Spotted Leaf lowered her head and turned to Blue Star.
It was a message from StarClan, she murmured.
A distant look came into her eyes.
Fire alone can save our clan.
Fire? Blue Star echoed. But fire is feared by all the clans. How can it help us? Spotted Leaf shook her head.
I do not know, she admitted, but this is the message StarClan has chosen to share with me.
The ThunderClan leader fixed her clear blue eyes on the medicine cat. You have never been wrong before, Spotted Leaf, she meowed. If StarClan has spoken, then it must be so. Fire will save our clan. My name is Spencer Grant, and you're listening to Four Trees, a Warrior Cats retrospective podcast. Today, we are talking about The Prophecies Begin, Book 1, Into the Wild. This is an excellent book. It's one of my favorites, I would have to say. It makes me think about all of the wonderful, sweet times of my childhood. It makes me think about my fresh innocence, back when I was as pure as a fluffy cloud, full of rain, waiting to fall to the earth and cause oil to leak from the ground, which is where the smell of petrichor comes from, by the way, in case you wanted to know that. So, this is Warrior Cats Book 1. Obviously, I have already read all of the Warrior Cats books. I've read this, like, a whole bunch of times. I've most recently read it probably back in December, and then again right immediately before recording these. So I have a lot to say about it, which is probably going to fill up more than half an hour knowing me. But hey, come on. We all got to start somewhere. So what does this book remind me of? This book reminds me of my childhood, as I've already said. Actually, in particular, I think this book does a really good job of capturing what it's like to be a kid in a new school or a new environment. I remember the first time that I went to my middle school. Actually, my vice principal was murdered by Tiger Claw. And then when I found a stray teacher from another school and brought her into my middle school later on during my first task as an apprentice, I remember that Tiger Claw murdered the other new vice principal. And so it just kept going until they had to appoint Tiger Claw to be the vice principal, which was a really weird thing to do in retrospect, and I'm not sure why or how that happened, but I was a child, so there are probably some important details that I'm forgetting, which is how I feel about most of the Warrior Cat series. So, if you don't want to get spoiled, I'm not going to talk too much about what happens outside of these books, but it has been a very long time since I've read them, so in all likelihood, the only things that I remember are going to be the things that matter in the story. If you do not want to be spoiled for the additional Warrior Cats books. I'll do my dangdest to make sure that you're not, but I cannot promise that I will not spoil you for this one, because this is a podcast about this book, and I'm not going to be just describing the book for the whole time. That said, let me describe the book. So, ThunderClan needs warriors. After a fight over Sunning Rocks, which is obviously the most important territory in the world, runs afoul, the kitty pet Rusty is scouted by Blue Star, who is the leader cat of ThunderClan. She asks him to leave his comfortable kitty pet life and live in ThunderClan to fight and hunt for the good of the feral colony of warrior cats. And Rusty's like, sure, I didn't like my life anyways. All right, I've always wanted to eat a mouse. What's up with those, right? They look super tasty. And so he enters the forest. And while he is initially poorly received amongst the clan cats, he very quickly finds acceptance among a few, especially his new best friend, Graypaw, another kitten around his age who is less, I would say, fast and strong as, he's stronger for sure. Look, what matters is Graypaw's a good guy. He's maybe the best guy. I hope that he lives longer. Not that I dislike Rusty. So anyways, Rusty's now Firepaw, I should say, is taken under the wing of the warriors and shown around the forest after the death of the clan's deputy, Redtail. Oh yeah, by the way, Redtail dies. That's an important detail. Forgot to mention it earlier. Redtail is kind of like the vice principal of ThunderClan's middle school. I'm not going to say why he died, because in the story they say, oh yeah, RiverClan got him, those nasty RiverClan folk. Come on, we all know it's Tiger Claw. But anyways, after a few moons of training, Firepaw is out on his own looking for prey, and he encounters a former Shadow Clan elder named Yellowfang, who has stumbled into ThunderClan territory. And Firepaw, initially they fight for a little bit, and then Firepaw schools her, because she's like old and weak, and he takes pity on her, and he's like, hey, Blue Star, can we keep her? She followed me home. And Blue Star is like, sure. But everybody in the camp is super suspicious of her. She acts all suspicious around kits and stuff. And also she's like Shadow Clan. So she's like a prisoner. After a few more moons of training, Firepaw begins to clock some strange behavior from Tiger Claw, who I talked about earlier. He's this power-hungry, crude, rude dude. And he is very mistrustful of Firepaw because he was a kitty pet at one point. Racism. At the very first gathering he attends, Firepaw also noticed some inconsistencies that his friend Ravenpaw is telling about Redtail's death. Remember Redtail? He's dead. That's important. Now, there's also some news about ShadowClan, who are like, hey, what's up with ShadowClan? How are you guys doing? We need more territory. And also Yellowfang is like a murderer. She killed some kids. So Firepaw freaks out because he thinks that Yellowfang is like cool now. They got on during their time. So he rushes home and he's like, yo, Yellowfang, the group mind has decided that you are a murderer and we should probably get out of here. But Yellowfang's like, dude, I'm going to face the music. And thankfully, Blue Star, who has probably the most brain cells in the forest right now, stands up for Yellowfang and she's like, yo, obviously Broken Star is the real threat here. He's the one who wants to break the warrior code. Warrior code, I'm not even... Do I have to explain it? The warrior code is the code that all the warriors follow. Come on, keep up. I have to keep this under half an hour. Otherwise, the mafia is going to come and chop off my legs. Now, they decide, Blue Star decides, I'm going to go on a holy pilgrimage because, like, I gotta find guidance from our ancestors, those Star Clan guys that she was talking about in the prologue. So she decides to take Rusty and Ravenpaw and Tiger Claw and also Graypaw for some reason over to the Moonstone, which is a big magical stone, and she falls asleep next to it and has dreams. However, they're nightmare dreams, because as it turns out, Blue Star is being warned by her ancestors. And so basically immediately after going to the stone, Blue Star is like, yo, we gotta go back. It's about to get real messy. But it's a very long journey, and so on the way back, they have to cross through a lot of territory. In one of these territories, it's like a barn, and there's this barn cat named Barley, and he seems like a really cool guy. Barley's all like, hey, what's up? I'm Barley. How are you guys doing? It's good to see you again, Blue Star. You seem like you're very scared of something. And Blue Star's like, yeah, I'm scared. There's a scary thing that's going to happen to my clan. We got to get going. How do we get home? Because I know that those dogs are untied. By the way, they passed dogs earlier on. So Barley's like, don't even trip, my dude. I got this. All right. So Barley shows them a way over through, and unfortunately, Barley does not got this, because there are a bunch of rats that attack, and they severely weaken Blue Star. But Blue Star's like, don't worry, it's fine, I'm a warrior cat clan leader, I have more lives than everybody else, I'm gonna be cool. And so, basically, they go back home, and everybody's like, yeah, whatever, Blue Star only died once, it's cool. However, when they return to Thunder Clan, they discover a Shadow Clan invasion underway. And while they manage to stave off the villains of Shadow Clan, the invasion takes the life of Lionheart, the next vice principal of Thunder Clan's middle school. And Blue Star is like, well, we're out of warriors, except for White Storm, who I'm not going to make the deputy for some reason. We got to have Tiger Claw be the deputy. And Ravenpaw, who has been existing this whole time, is terrified. Because Tiger Claw starts throwing his weight around like a mafia goon to insinuate that how did Shadow Clan know to get here while all of our warriors were away? And it's like, dude, it's just you. But whatever. He's like, there must be a spy in Thunder Clan. And Firepaw, who has probably the second highest brain cell count in all of the forest, up to I think he might have like three. He starts to worry about Ravenpaw because he's like, oh. There were those inconsistencies in those stories. I think maybe Tiger Claw might be up to something really shady. And so he basically goes and confronts Ravenpaw, and he's like, yo, what gives? Why are you acting like a Hanna-Barbera character around this guy? Why are you so scared? Why are you always shaking and being like, Tiger Claw? And Ravenpaw is like, yeah, so like Tiger Claw totally killed Redtail. Remember him? He died. It was important. And Firepaw's like, oh my gosh, yo, that makes total sense. Tiger Claw's like evil as heck. He has been acting like it this entire journey. I guess that sort of covers it up. So he's all like, all right, I got to tell Blue Star about this, but he never gets the chance. Because basically immediately afterwards, also he talks to Blue Star, and Blue Star's like, yeah, it turns out I'm actually in super, super close danger. But immediately afterwards, they're interrupted because Spotted Leaf, the medicine cat, has been murdered, and Yellow Fang has disappeared along with some kits. And Firepaw and Greypaw are like, oh no, this is not good. Firepaw knows that Yellowfang pretty clearly did not take the kits because he knows Yellowfang pretty well at this point. And they're like, yeah, this is way too close to the Shadow Clan invasion for that to be just coincidence. Let's see what's going on. And so Firepaw and Greypaw decide to take Ravenpaw along the route for their earlier pilgrimage to the Moonstone. And they're like, yeah, you're going to get killed if we leave you alone because Tiger Claw is basically turning the camp against you. We're going to tell them that you're dead and you should go live with Barley at the farm. And Ravenpaw's like, yeah, that makes sense. I'm not crazy. And so they venture into the Shadow Clan territory next without Ravenpaw. And they're like, Yellowfang, what's going on? And Yellowfang's like, hi, it's me, Yellowfang. How are you doing? And they're like, fine. How do we rescue these kittens from Shadow Clan? Because like, we know you didn't steal them. And Yellowfang's like, yeah, let me tell you what's up with Shadow Clan. So basically, they're using child soldiers to fight against the other clans. And they're also stealing kittens from other clans so that they can like raise them as their own warriors and stuff. And it's like really messed up. And also, by the way, Broken Star framed me for being a murderer of children that, you know, he killed while he was training with them. Quote unquote, training with them. I can't. Yeah, whatever. So Firepaw and Greypaw are like, wow, that's messed up. All right, we got to do something about this. And so they meet with a Thunder Clan patrol, and they're like, yeah, Shadow Clan has the kits. Yellow Fang is cool. She's recruiting some of her allies who are like within Shadow Clan, but they don't like Broken Star either. And together, they do an attack on Shadow Clan's territory. And it goes perfectly well. They manage to fight some people. Firepaw almost kills a guy. Basically, they just pretty easily drive out Broken Star and his warriors because like only four cats are willing to fight for Broken Star. Everybody else is like, yeah, I'm sick and they're killing children. I don't want to be part of this clan anymore. And so they rescue their kits and the remains of Shadow Clan. And White Storm, who's the warrior who's like leading the raid, is like, hey, I'm going to give you guys 1 month. We're not going to bother you. You can hunt wherever you want. You can rebuild your clan. We're going to go home. And so they come back home. Firepaw has the kits. He's like, yeah, everything's cool. Blue Star's like, cool. Yellowfang, you're a new medicine cat because Spotted Leaf died. And Firepaw and Graypaw, you guys are going to have your new warrior names, Fireheart and Graystripe. All right, now I know that was a lot to take in, and for that, I apologize. I promise I will get better at succinctly summarizing these books in the future. This is the first one, give me a break. I'm going to talk about what I liked and what I disliked about this book, and this may take a while, because I have a lot of thoughts all the time. I can't turn them off. So, the first thing is, it has a really good opening, like really good. I noticed that it set up the tone for this book really well, and it gets you intrigued in the world you're beginning to inhabit. They have these really well-done battle scenes, all of the descriptions are really pretty, and again, they did set up the Sunning Rock's territorial dispute, which is basically the most important thing in the series, so like, you know, that props for them for doing that in a way that didn't feel very ham-fisted. But seriously, like, if there's one thing that these books have in spades, it is the fact that they manage to... On every single page, there is a description of something that is really pretty. And as an author who struggles with writing descriptions, I'm much more of a dialogue-focused person. Whenever I see, like, the branches of the bush hung low, but Firepaw could see a sheltered space inside where the warriors made their nest. Or something like, here we go. Her den was carved out many moons ago by an ancient stream. A hanging lichen drape the surface, sheltering the leader's nest from wind and rain. Like, I know those sound really basic, but I don't know how to do that. And so I appreciate it when I see it done, and I see it done in a way that isn't over the top, and in a way that, like, allows you to maintain pace with everything that's going on. I also think they do a really good job of grounding, like, you as a human in the view of a cat who, first of all, doesn't know anything about society, but also knows everything about being a cat. Like, they do a pretty good job. It never, like, they hit you over the head pretty quickly with the fact that, like, you are seeing this through a cat's perspective. One of the first things we know about Rusty is that he has scent glands in the top of his mouth, and so he opens his mouth to smell. And that is something that is just so wholly different from how humans understand and perceive the world that I think it's really good that they are, at the very least, showing us this isn't a series about people that just, like, have fur. This is a story about animals fighting. They're fantasy animals doing fights and stuff. There's a part later on where they're like, yeah, there's this cat Halftail who, like, couldn't... He refused to climb trees after a badger bit his tail off because now he can't balance. And it's like, whoa! Oh! I never thought of that. Thank you. I also, like, all of the cat vernacular. Like, obviously, I don't call everything the same thing that we do. There's a group of trees in the middle. I don't know if you might have heard about them. They're called four trees. Like, we... And also, like, Sunning Rocks, and if I just, like, have a look at the map, like, there are a million different examples of this that they have everywhere, that these cats are just naming things because that's all the after things that they have a basic conception of, and that's always good. There is basically no part of that where it catches me off guard, and I'm like, well, what is that? With one exception, and that is sharing tongues. Because they don't explain to you what sharing tongues is before you read it for the first time. And so they're like, oh yes, we're all sharing tongues here. And then later on, they're like, oh yeah, sharing tongues is, you know, the thing that cats do when they groom each other. And it's like, okay, cool. I feel like it would have been nice to know that before I assumed that these cats were, like, making out or something like that. Because at least to me, a human, when I read the term sharing tongues, I'm like, whoa, it's getting hot and heavy here, guys. Come on. I don't know if this is appropriate for your target demographic. I'm going to talk about some of the things. Oh, yeah. Also, like, the books have a really playful way of writing, at least far more playful than I remembered. I remember these books took themselves very seriously. Like, I remember it was like, it was kind of like that brand of comedy where they do something and the thing is funny because it is that thing and not because of any actual thing that happens in there. Like, I would say that Dear Sister is an SNL sketch in which a bunch of people shoot each other and the song What You Say or whatever plays a whole bunch of times. And I would say part of the it's definitely like hilarious in its own right, but I would say like a good deal of the comedy comes from the fact that this thing exists. To me that was always where the jokes were in this book. Like, oh yeah, it's Game of Thrones but with cats, isn't that wild? And then the books themselves were like 100% on that juice. But also, like, I never remembered that, like, these are humans, or at least these are characters, and the characters need to interact with each other in positive ways, and in a lot of ways that will involve, you know, gossiping or telling jokes or making fun of each other. Which is just really enjoyable, I guess, to read. I'm so unused to it, because I read a lot of bad books or, like, books that are written about people that completely hate each other. Like, if you ever read any Kurt Vonnegut book, you never get the sense that any of these characters actually enjoy each other's presence. It's just kind of like another human coexisting in the space, and then to some extent you are used to them. Especially in Bluebeard, you get the idea that Rabo Karabekian never really liked being around any other people. But that's enough Vonnegut talk. You'll hear plenty more Vonnegut talk. I do like, first of all, one of their first descriptions of Blue Star is they describe her as majestic and magnificent, which is just great. I love how they refer to the vet as the cutter. I think that is hilarious. There might be some vaguely problematic phrasing insofar as the implication that all tomcats are assigned male at birth and their genitalia is what makes them male, but this book came out in like 2003. It's fine. We weren't talking about those issues then, and if a children's book was to talk about those issues, there probably would have been a very big fuss that HarperCollins would have been ill-advised to deal with. So that's fine. There's some dialogue that's fun, like, you know, oh, you seem in an awful hurry to die, or, you know, Darkstripe is neither young nor pretty, and stuff like that. It's just nice. Longtail was apparently handsome before Firepaw cut up his ear, so, like, good for him. Also Redtail being killed 5 minutes into the book was a lot of fun. I like, I like Redtail a lot. I love the purpose that he serves in this story. I think that's really good, too. So there are some things that this book doesn't do that well. I feel like Spotted Leaf in general, Spotted Leaf being the medicine cat that Firepaw is basically in love with, I don't think a ball has ever been so fumbled as Spotted Leaf has been by the writers of these books. To me, at least, like reading this with the hindsight of like being an adult, it seems pretty clear to me that like it's a one-sided crush. From Firepaw, like, Firepaw sees a pretty medicine cat, and, like, she smells like cinnamon, and he's like, oh, I dig that. And he doesn't know that medicine cats can't, like, take mates or whatever. But, like, also, in a lot of the other canon that I do remember, it is, like, kind of revealed that, like, Spotted Leaf had feelings for Firepaw, which is, like, pretty weird, because, I don't know, I prefer to see it as being, like, a kid that's in love with their babysitter kind of thing. Like, that's a far more comfortable space for that relationship to be in. I think that the way that they handled Ravenpaw could have used some work. Ravenpaw, I don't want to like make too much light out of Ravenpaw, because he is basically being gaslighted by Tigerclaw. He's being browbeat, and I think it is important that any child who reads these books gets the message that like you should not let this happen to you, even if there is this scary, you know, grown-up figure in your life who is basically like threatening you. You shouldn't let that happen. You should not be complacent, and you should not, you know, let that shell shock you to the extent that it clearly shell shocked Ravenpaw. Like, you feel really bad for him, but you would feel a lot worse if he didn't act like a Hanna-Barbera character, because it kind of got to the point where, like, I was feeling horrible for poor Ravenpaw, this kid that's, like, basically consigned to oblivion, because it's just a matter of time before Tigerclaw comes down and is like, yeah, you told somebody who I killed, so I gotta kill you now. But he's always, like, shaking and freaking out, and it's really hard to, like, imagine that he's saying anything that isn't, like, a comical stutter. And he's, like, gulp and stuff, and all it can do is make me think about, like, what if the Scooby-Doo villains were legitimately trying to kill the dog in Scooby-Doo? I forget his name. But, you know, it's like, I feel really bad. That is probably, I wouldn't say it's fumbled quite as hard as Spotted Leaf is in the extended canon, but at least in this book, Spotted Leaf is, like, done okay. You know, I think the worst that it ever goes is that Spotted Leaf at one point tries to tell Firepaw about the prophecy, and it's, like, weird. And also Spotted Leaf keeps, Firepaw keeps describing how she smells and you know, how sweet her scent is, which is, like, fine, I guess, because he is a cat, and that's kind of how they identify each other in real life, but, like, it's whatever. There are, also, they keep using that, like, the words echoing in the memory trope, which I guess there's nothing wrong with it inherently, but, like, if you use it multiple times, it makes me wonder about what this character is remembering. Because they keep, like, they have this thing where it's like, he remembered the words repeated by Lionheart and Tigerclaw time and time again. The clan must be fed first. And it's like, ah, yes, that classic Tiger Clan, Tigerclaw line, the clan must be fed first. It's, whenever somebody asks me to think of a quote from Warrior Cats, my head always goes back to Lionheart and Tigerclaw saying the clan must be fed first. Because that one really slaps. They use it, like, once or twice, and I think maybe once it's done well, where he's, like, Lionheart's favorite phrase is, surprise is the warrior's greatest weapon. Like, that could, sure, that could be a quote. But then, like, you know, you speak from your heart, young Firepaw, this will make you a stronger warrior one day. You know, that's not, like, that quote isn't evergreen. you can't use that in more situations. Than exclusively whatever it is that Firepaw is thinking about. And even when his name gets changed to Fireheart, like, there, you can't use that quote anymore, my dude. Now all you have to do, you can just, like, cut out the first bit and maybe, like, you speak from your heart, this will make you a stronger warrior. But, like, you know, you can't say, well, as my mentor Lionheart used to say, you speak from your heart, young Firepaw, this will make you a stronger warrior one day. You can't, I'm sorry, Fireheart, you can't do that. It's not allowed. I'm the boss here, that's what I say. Alright, so what does this book mean going forward? As I continue into the Warriors canon, what are the things about this book that I need to remember? Well, one, obviously, Tigerclaw and his pals are, like, evil. Maybe not his pals, but Tigerclaw cannot trust that guy. Two, Blue Star is a lot more vulnerable than we thought. This is one of the things I do remember from when I read these as a kid. I remember thinking to myself that, like, holy crap, Blue Star has only got, like, 2 lives left. We can't waste that. By the way, earlier on when Blue Star got attacked by the rats, she was like, oh, it's cool, I still got 4 lives left. And then later she went to Firepaw and was like, yo, actually, I have 2. I kind of skipped that part while I was recapping the book, but now I'm talking about it here, so that's cool. But yeah, Blue Star is a lot more vulnerable than we thought, and that was something that did stick with me. I was, like, thinking to myself, well, obviously, you know, these characters have plot armor and stuff, but Blue Star could basically die at any moment. And that was something that, like, carried a lot of weight with me as a kid when I was reading these, was thinking, like, oh my gosh, each moment with Blue Star, each battle could be her last. Like, that's kind of freaky. We have a potential outside ally in the form of Ravenpaw. I don't remember if he comes back. I kind of hope he does, because, like, I really did like him whenever he wasn't freaking out. And it would be nice to, like, you know, get to know some more of him now that he's, you know, being able to take some time for himself and get gay married to Barley. Or sorry, I should just say married, huh? So it's very important to me that Barley and Ravenpaw are gay. Like, that, come on, guys. Can we all just agree on that for a second? Also, Spotted Leaf, definitely important to Firepaw in some way, shape, or form. Her death didn't really have a lot of time to have a lot of ramifications, aside from the fact that Firepaw almost killed a guy and then was like, no, it's not what Spotted Leaf would have wanted, or something like that, and that was about it. There was another line that Firepaw said pretty early on when he was getting introduced to the other cats. And it was like, but that seems foolish. Why can't the clans work together? Sorry, he's British. Why can't the clans work together and share their hunting grounds instead of fighting each other? And Like, that does seem like a pretty viable endgame for these warrior cats. Like, the world is spinning pretty fast, and obviously they have a lot of time to be warriors, but it would be kind of nice if, like, it ended with them being like, yeah, the clans are, like, stupid. We've done, like, 20 different, you know, inter-clan romance arcs. Maybe we should just end it. Maybe we should just all chill out. And what Shadow Clan talks about earlier on, where it's like, we need the clans to support each other. You should let us hunt in your territories because our territory, we can't afford any more prey, and it's why should we be punished if our kids survive? Like, that's not a bad line of logic. I just think that their approach needs a lot of work, and maybe they shouldn't be using child soldiers. So anyway, another thing to take away, Fireheart is now a trusted confidant of Blue Star. What does that mean? Who knows? And I think the final thing is that Yellowfang is now a trusted Thunder Clan cat and a medicine cat at that, so that's good. There were, I think, around 6 or 7 violations of the Warrior Code during this book. I'm only ever going to count the ones that were done by the ThunderClan cats, because, or like whichever cats are our protagonists in this scenario, because I think that it's important at least to manage expectations. If we were counting all of the breaches of the Warrior Code that Shadow Clan and River Clan were doing in this book, like, we'd be here all day, and I don't want to do that. I have other things to do, and you have other things to do. I don't want to make this like an hour-long podcast and have the last half hour just be me talking about how they broke the Warrior Code. So, like, 6-ish violations. I wasn't keeping that close track. One being obviously Firepaw feeding himself before the clan when he was out catching that rabbit for Yellowfang, right? That was a big no-no. And then also the ThunderClan cats did hunt and then trespass in Shadow Clan's territory several times, which was not cool, even though they were out being like war criminals. I would say don't do that in the future. Just a suggestion. But yeah, that's really all I have to say about Warrior Cats, The Prophecies Begin, Book 1. If you want to continue talking about it, I'm sure some of the podcast forums have like a nice comment section or something. And if they do, you can send me a message on like Twitter and be like, hey, what's up with this? Why didn't you talk about this? And I'd be happy to answer. But for the meantime, this has been Fortrees. I have been Spencer, and you have been delightful. And the music was, well, yeah, whatever. I'm going to play myself out now. You have a wonderful, beautiful day, and pet your cat really well. Hold it close, you know. Bye now. How do I stop the podcast?